As promised, we're joined right now by the host of the Open Floor podcast. He covers the NBA for SI.com. He is, in fact, a jungle legend. Ben Golliver is my guest. Good to have you back. Ben, how are you?
I'm good, Jim. You know, I gotta be honest, I'm a little worried about these Warriors because we spent like the last 6 months kind of pretending that they weren't just going to waltz the title. Steph Curry goes down, and now it's like a whole different season. We have to actually get honestly concerned about them.
You know, that's exactly where I was going to start in that very topic, Ben. Steph Curry's been battling ankle injuries throughout the season. So when you saw him go down with that MCL sprain on Friday night, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
I mean, it's bad, bad news for them. I mean, the timing is terrible. You know, they said initially he's going to be out for 3 weeks, so that's the rest of the regular season. Steve Kerr, you know, doubled back and said, you know, he's probably not going to play in the first round of the playoffs. You know, my first reaction was this is sort of what happened with Kevin Durant last year. Remember, he goes down with that knee sprain. It seems like his season is going to be over, but then he rushes back for the playoffs. But by the time last season was over, pretty much everyone forgot about Durant's injury. And I just don't see any scenario where we're going to be able to say the same thing in June. I think Steph Curry's health right now looms over the entire postseason picture because, number one, he's had so many other injuries this season, like you mentioned. So the prospect of him trying to rush back and get re-injured, you know, to me, that's very real during the playoffs. Number two, they're just not the same team without him. Like, they could kind of make it work without Kevin Durant because their offense is sort of built around Steph Curry. But they're plugging in a two-way contract guy, a point guard in Quinn Cook. They haven't been the same locked-in defense this season as they were in previous years. And so I think that makes it a little bit more difficult. And also there's a team in the Houston Rockets who I think is a more formidable competition than anybody they faced last year. I mean, to me, this is a team that is poised to take advantage of Steph Curry's health problem, you know, down there in Houston with Chris Paul and James Harden. So for all of those reasons, I think the championship race right now is wide open. And if you're the Warriors, you want to project confidence publicly, but I'm sure they're sweating bullets behind the scenes.
Ben Golliver joining us. All right, so put Houston aside for a minute. When you look at how tough the West is right now and the potential matchups for Golden State in the first round, what about that right there? I mean, how difficult would that first round series be if Steph Curry is not available?
Yeah, for sure, because they're not in the one seed, and that was a big part of last year where they're that number one seed, so they could play a team like Portland that was only 500 last year. If you look at the standings right now, being in the two seed, whoever they face in the seven seed could be a really tricky team. It could be San Antonio. Imagine if San Antonio is the seven seed and they get Kawhi Leonard back. I mean, that's a nightmare, but it could also be Minnesota getting Jimmy Butler back. It could also be New Orleans and Anthony Davis. It could also be Utah, who's much better than their record because Rudy Gobert was injured earlier in this season. So right off the get-go, that first round is going to be tough. And then when you look at the second round, when you're trying to get Steph Curry back into the mix, it could either be Portland, who's much better than they were last year. You know, they've got a lot of playoff experience. Damian Lillard's playing the best basketball of his career. And then it could also be Oklahoma City. I mean, can you imagine trying to throw Steph Curry out there on sort of a gimpy leg against Russell Westbrook? I mean, that doesn't sound like any fun at all. So I guess what's setting up here to me is kind of a gauntlet. Like, there's going to be no easy series for Golden State if they want to get back to the finals. And there could be a scenario where they have to go through, like, San Antonio, Portland, and Houston just to get the right to beat LeBron James in the finals. That is a tough test for any team, even one with Steph Curry, let alone one trying to make do without him.
Ben Golliver joining us. So, Ben, bottom line, this, it's not just Steph Curry. It's Kevin Durant. It's Klay Thompson. It's Draymond Green. I mean, they're all banged up at this point. And the way you lay this out, it's not like the path they took last year to the finals. This is a gauntlet. Have we reached a point where they might just be too banged up to successfully defend their title? How real is that possibility?
Well, here's the saving grace, and this is the silver lining for them. They don't have to basically do anything else for the rest of the regular season. If they want to, you know, nurse Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant back to good health over the next couple of weeks, they're able to do that. They're essentially locked into that two seed. So that is sort of their saving grace. They don't need to be rushing these guys back on the court, trying to get victories to, you know, avoid certain matchups. I mean, they basically are where they are. So that is the good news. And the other good news, frankly, is, you know, Kevin Durant is arguably, you know, either, you know, the second best player or the third best player in the NBA, depending on who you ask. That's a nice guy to have to fall back on. And certainly he hasn't been in that position to really need to step forward consistently since he joined the Warriors. He did it in last year's finals. I mean, that was a major reason why they won that matchup. I mean, he really played the best basketball of his career head-to-head against LeBron James. But this is going to be sort of, you know, his time to shine. I just think the tricky part for their offense, when they don't have that point guard out there, is the ball doesn't move like it usually does. They don't create as good of shots as they do when Steph Curry's out there. Part of that is because teams, you know, respect Steph Curry so much and they guard him tightly, opening up other options. But part of it is just he's a good passer, and it's tough to replace that. So it's going to look a little clunkier, I think. Their offense is not going to work as smoothly, and it's really going to fall on Kevin Durant's shoulders to kind of pull them through this.
Ben Golliver joining us. All right, Ben, so when you look at Golden State, it's pretty clear what their biggest concern is at this point of the season. What about Houston? What would Houston's biggest concern be at this point in the season?
Well, I think they've been playing their main guys lots of minutes, you know, and Harden missed some time earlier. And I think they're now cruising. I mean, they've secured the best record in franchise history. They're going to be, you know, potentially having the most wins that Harden or Chris Paul has ever been involved with if they get to 60. But I think the lesson here for every other team is these are the dog days of the NBA season. Like, don't be running your guys up there for 36, 38 minutes a night, chasing victories in late March, because weird, fluky things can happen, like what happened to Steph Curry. Make sure you enter the postseason, you know, fully healthy, so you're ready to go. I mean, no one has figured out how to stop their offense yet this year, Jim. They've been unbelievable. They've exceeded. I had high expectations coming into this season. They've exceeded all of them. They're really, really rolling. I guess their biggest concern would be, you know, something outside of their control, you know, a twisted ankle, a bum knee, something along those lines. Because right now the path is opening wide for them. I think they're going to be in a situation where they can handle their first-round opponent pretty easily. Like I said, their offense has just been playing at that high of a level. And they're also, you know, comfortable in the knowledge that, you know, they wouldn't have to deal with Golden State potentially until the Western Conference Finals. And they should enjoy an easier path to get there in the playoffs than Golden State will.
All right, so, Ben, let's talk about a couple of the teams that you mentioned. What about Portland? They had that winning streak snapped by Houston, and then after that loss, they dropped another one to Boston before they beat OKC. How do you feel about the Blazers as a team in the postseason? In other words, can they make some noise, or will the talent gap be too big if they get to the second round?
Well, I'll tell you this. First of all, the Blazers fans remember the last couple of years against the Warriors in the playoffs. There's nothing that they want more than revenge against this team that's sort of been their big brother. You know, a guy like Damian Lillard's always getting compared to Steph Curry, and usually it's not, you know, favorable comparisons. Blazers fans have been playing the me against the world card since the early 90s when Danny Ainge was, you know, kind of doing that during the Rip City years. That fan base and that team, I think, in my opinion, would love to see Golden State in the second round to kind of get their shot at them. And also because, like I said, Golden State's kind of lifting into the playoffs. I think, you know, for Portland, the challenge will be focus on your first-round opponent, because they're not going to have an easy, you know, matchup there either. But if they can get through that first round, I think the prospect of the Blazers, you know, playing this ascendant style, really being better on defense than they've been in past years, getting the best basketball out of both Lillard and McCollum that they've gotten in past years, that's a true threat. And if you're saying both teams are fully healthy, I think Golden State handles business. If you're saying Steph Curry's trying to limp his way back into a series, I'd say Portland has a shot there. That would really shock the world, and boy, that would be you know, sweet revenge for them after the last couple of seasons where, you know, like last year they got swept, for example, and that was tough to take.
Ben Golliver, NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, joins us yet again. All right, Ben, what about OKC? What do you think when you see the Thunder playing right now, and is this what you expected from them at the start of the season?
The problem with Oklahoma City is just they're so shaky. You know, their highs are really high. Their lows are really low. And during a playoff series, you know, if you're having those off nights that are really, really ugly, those are tough to overcome. Especially if you're going against a more talented team. I think there's a couple reasons for their inconsistency. One, their depth isn't great. Two, they're really relying on Carmelo Anthony to give them good minutes, and he hasn't really been able to do that, especially recently. I mean, you look at their game against Portland last night. I mean, that kind of felt like a playoff game. There was moments late in that game where they really needed the old Carmelo Anthony, the big shot-making Carmelo Anthony, the guy who could hit that dagger three-pointer, and he just wasn't able to deliver. And you know, he's a real liability on defense as well. And I think, you know, unfortunately, that presents some problems, because once you get to the playoffs, I think teams are really going to pick on him. And I wouldn't want to be Billy Donovan, you know, trying to, you know, make the decision, do you leave Carmelo Anthony out there on the court, or do you pull him off the court and go with one of these unproven guys and risk any potential backlash from that? So to me, they're going to be a tough out because Westbrook's playing great. He was probably a little bit overrated coming into this season, but he's worked his way back into that underrated conversation, nearly averaging a triple-double and kind of carrying that team. But, you know, we've seen he needs help to win in the playoffs. He didn't have it last year. I think he's got a little bit more help this year, but I just think their inconsistency is going to come back to bite them, whether it's in the first round or the second round. I just don't see this as a team that can make a deep playoff push.
Glad you mentioned Billy Donovan. They're definitely going to need him dialing up the right things, punching the right buttons. We're talking to Ben Golver. All right, so last week he had the Raptors and Cavaliers, and he had that showdown. LeBron turns in this absolutely monster performance, Ben. If you're Toronto, how are you feeling coming out of that game?
Well, I think that there, first of all, that's a painful loss, because when you score almost 80 points in the first half, you think you're going to win that game. And Cleveland has been sort of their bugaboo for these last couple of years. I mean, just lording over them. They haven't had an answer for LeBron James. But my big takeaway from that game was I'm not sure the Cavaliers have the defensive personnel to stop Toronto. Toronto's offense is really off the charts this year. They're probably the most underrated team in the NBA overall. And part of it is because people are skeptical that they're going to be able to win in the playoffs because they've struggled there previously. But they scored 129 points easily on the Cavaliers. I mean, they really didn't even have to sweat for it. And so that it just turns that potential series that those two teams match up in the playoffs, it turns it into a shootout, because I'm not sure the Raptors have a defensive answer for LeBron James. I mean, he's getting, you know, 30-plus points and 17 assists and no turnovers basically at will, right? But the same is true the other way. And if Toronto has home court advantage, I think that they have to be considered to be a legitimate threat to the Cavaliers this year. And I wouldn't have said that in past years. You know, people have tried to prop up Toronto as a team that could knock out Cleveland. Before this year, I always said, you know, poo-pooed that idea. They're not ready. I think this year's team, because of their offense, because of their depth as well, they have a very strong bench. I think they've got a chance against Cleveland, and I wouldn't have said that previously.
All right, so, Ben, a final thought. Does Toronto or anybody in the East really provide any kind of threat to any team that comes out of the West?
Yeah, I don't think so. I still think it's a two-team league, especially when the teams are healthy in Houston and Golden State. And I think this Curry injury is actually a good argument to have the reseeding, you know, to take the playoffs and just make it to 1-16, because they're going to have a tough first round matchup, like we mentioned. If they had reseeded, this would have really favored a team like Golden State, who had an excellent season all year prior to Curry's injury. They would have had a weaker first round opponent in a reseeding formula. They would have had an easier path potentially to get to the finals in a 1-16 format. And I think they're almost being penalized. Like, their injury happened at the wrong time, and now they have to run through this gauntlet, like we mentioned. It wouldn't have been so difficult if the conferences were balanced between East and West. And if I'm Adam Silver, I mean, Jim, let's be honest. What's the worst-case scenario for him? Is the Warriors getting knocked out in the first round, right? Because that's going to kill the television ratings. Everybody loves to see the defending champs versus LeBron. I mean, that's sort of the NBA's dream finals. I think it's actually bad for business here if this injury winds up costing Golden State a chance to defend their title, because just because of your playoff format is so weighted so heavily to the Western Conference. So I think it's one thing to keep an eye on here as Golden State tries to make do without Curry, is what are the implications for the league if they're not able to do it?
Yeah, that'd be extremely bad for business, Ben. Or as LeBron puts it, it would be corny and whack. That probably was my favorite quote ever from LeBron, Ben, when he was asked about the little mini tournament or the play-in, whereby instead of taking the top eight teams, you let team number 9, team number 10 have a way to play that thing in. It's, quote, corny and whack. And in fact, I think there are 3 cornies and 2 whacks. What do you make of that idea? A play-in tournament, a mini tournament.
I'm with LeBron. Look, it's just too complicated. And nobody wants to watch these teams anyway, Jim. We don't even want to watch the 6, 7, and 8 seeds right now. Why do we want to watch the 9, 10, 11 seeds battling out for a tournament? I mean, no one's tuning in to watch the Charlotte Hornets of the world. The NBA has always been driven by the teams at the top. I mean, that's the superstars, the super teams. That's what we talk about when we look at the NBA. And so I think all of the NBA's focus should be on ensuring that the very best teams can be in the playoffs for as long as possible. And the best way to do that is to have the 1-16 playoff format. And I know LeBron doesn't like that idea either, because it would make it harder for his teams in the Eastern Conference to make the finals if they had to play, say, the Houston Rockets in the semifinals or something along those lines. But it would be more fair, and it would produce better matchups. And I think ultimately the NBA's focus should not be on the tournament idea. It should be on that 1-16 playoff bracket.
Exactly right, because the other idea is whack and it's corny. It's corny and it's whack. Ben Golver joining us, NBA columnist for Sports Illustrated. Do not miss his podcast either. Ben, nicely done as always. Great to have you on, Ben. Appreciate it very much.
All right, take care, Jim.
You too.